Welcome to all my late night mysteries listeners. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Today's episode is about a sighting by a woman who encountered something terrifying in her kitchen. The result of an act by her fellow tenants who were too lazy to clean up after themselves. Are those sightings which she saw real or just an imagination? Well, stay tuned, guys. I am Wraith. This is Late Night Mysteries. And you are listening to Listener's Tales Edition.
Disclaimer. This is a work of fiction. Any names, characters, businesses, places, events, or incidents are fictitious. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events is purely coincidental.
For today's episode, Unni will read our listener's email. Hand over to you, Unni.
Thank you, Wraith. Hello, my fellow listeners. Our listener sent the following email. She wants to be named Zara, who lives with her best friend, Fika, and two fellow housemates. This incident happened when the two housemates were left on their own and did not take care of the house as instructed by Zara. This listener quotes, "Hello, Wraith. I'm Zara. I am writing to share an experience 2 years ago when I first moved into a rented house with my best friend, Fika. At first, it all went well, as we felt our first taste of freedom and the responsibility of looking after a house by ourselves. When we gained two fellow tenants with undesirable bad habits, things became awfully scary on one night. Years ago, my best friend Fika and I decided to make a bold move and traveled to Kuala Lumpur to make a living for ourselves. We had decided to leave our hometown in Malacca and try our luck in the big city, as we had ample savings and Fika's father had bestowed upon her a generous amount of money to start our adventure. We managed to rent a modest terraced house on the outskirts of town. I had secured a comfortable job in a private firm, and Fika freelanced as a content writer for a local editorial. We were earning good money, and it was an exciting period for us. Eventually, we settled into a routine where it was just work, dinner, and sleep. My job required me to work late at times, and Fikar was almost always at home. It was out of loneliness that Fikar asked our landlord if he could rent out the 2 extra rooms, even though we could afford rental for the entire house. Our landlord agreed, and within a few weeks, 2 students from a private university moved in. Things were smooth sailing at first. I was hardly home, and Fika had the company of the girls. However, things began to turn sour not long after. Within a few weeks after moving in, we began noticing their bad habits. While they do dress up for school and wear the latest trend in clothes, their housekeeping leaves much to be desired. Their rooms were always cluttered with soiled clothes and boxes of books arranged haphazardly against the walls. Shopping bags, shoes, and empty mineral bottles were strewn everywhere. In fact, whenever they left the house for school or a night out in town, they would leave a trail of mess behind them. There was more than one occasion when I would find used tissue papers and empty packets of chips tucked at the corners of our living room sofa. I even found a half-eaten plate of fried rice under the TV console while sweeping the floor one morning. I was not happy about this, but Fika would always find excuses for them. She said they were like our little sisters and needed to concentrate on their studies. At this age, they should not worry about housework, and Fika did not mind cleaning up after them. Furthermore, Fika reiterated that I was never home and that at least she had the girls for her company on most school nights. I sighed in frustration at her reasoning, but I could not do much about the situation. Exactly a year after we moved to Kuala Lumpur, Fika went back to our hometown to look after her sick mother, but she assured me that she would be back within a month or two. Not long after, I had to travel overseas for a 3-week work assignment. Before my trip, I had laid out the housekeeping rules for the 2 girls. I reminded them time and again to throw out the trash before bed, to do the laundry, to clean the kitchen, and so on and so forth. They nodded and assured me that they would take care of the house. Something I find difficult to believe, and the nagging feeling stayed with me throughout my stay overseas. It became more intense as soon as I came back 3 weeks later. It was almost 2 in the morning when I arrived home. The minute I stepped foot in the house, I was greeted by a musty smell. I did not turn on the main lights because I knew the living room would look like a hurricane had just swept through, and I did not feel like facing a pile of trash right now. Guided by the light from the porch, I made my way to the staircase, too tired to do anything else. As I stood at the base of the stairs, I heard the sound of a plastic bowl hitting the kitchen floor. I thought one of the girls was probably rummaging for food, but there was no light from the kitchen. It was then that I heard a strange sound and the soft clink of cutleries hitting each other. Curious, I crept towards the light switch that would light up part of the dining room and the kitchen entrance. I heard the sound of grunting and the rattle of plates. By then, my eyes had adjusted to the darkness, and I could still see the dim light from the porch. Before I could touch the button of the light switch, I looked up and froze right there in the doorway of the kitchen. Squatting on top of the kitchen sink was a terrifying figure. Its badly deformed back was towards me. It was hunched almost double as it appeared to be licking on the unwashed, dirty plates piled on the sink. Hanging limply by its side was what looked like a twisted, scraggly branch, for hands holding on to a mushy pile of leftover food. It slowly moved up, and I supposed was eventually shoved sloppily into its mouth. It was an ugly, horrible, and awfully frightening sight. For a crazy second, I thought I could tiptoe away, but as if sensing it was being watched, the thing on the sink stopped moving altogether. At that moment, it slowly turned its head to the right, an act that could be best described as akin to someone glancing over their shoulder. I could barely distinguish the shape of a long tongue hanging out from its horribly disfigured head. As if unsatisfied by its side glance, the creature turned slowly, as if it too wanted to have a better view of who was watching it from behind. I could not tear my eyes off the equally horrifying face. It sneered at me. Its long tongue seemed to have a life of its own as it moved about, like a snake, around it. Without warning, it jumped to the floor on all fours and paused for effect before lounging towards me. In that split second, my left hand punched the light switch, and I closed my eyes while screaming at the top of my lungs. Cowering on the floor, I recited verse after verse of whatever prayers I knew of. I felt voices calling out to me and hands reaching out for me before realizing that it was actually the girls trying to calm me down. As I gained control of myself not long after, I glanced back at the now well-lit kitchen. The thing was gone. There was nothing that greeted my view but a messy, dirty kitchen. I told them what I had seen and scolded them for not keeping the house clean. I was shaking with fright, but I somehow found the will to make them clean up the mess that night. I couldn't care less if they had early classes the next morning. I don't want that thing to come back again. Convinced that I was making things up and angry that I had messed up their class schedule, the girls moved out not long after. They thought that I had gone mad after my long trip and claimed that I was trying to find excuses to get rid of them. Vika was initially upset but respected me enough to believe what I had seen. Today, Vika and I still live in the same house with two new tenants who are better housekeepers. That horrifying creature never came back. Maybe it's because our kitchen is always clean. Always. We made sure of that. That's all I have shared. Thank you, Wraith, and all the listeners who listened to my story. Till we meet again, goodbye. We often heard of older folks nagging at us to cover our food and throwing away inedible leftovers instead of leaving them out, exposed overnight. A dirty and unkempt house, or kitchen for that matter, is like a magnet for uninvited guests to come and share the space with us. Cleanliness is a good habit as it promotes healthy living. Of course, if you have to live with others who cannot clean up after themselves, you question whether it's really worth sharing that space. Some people can live with it, some people can't. It takes time to cultivate good habits. But if it's for the greater good, there's no harm in making it our way of life. Well, guys, that's all about today. The moral of this story is to remember to clean your kitchen before you head to sleep. Or else, you will stuck in the night, just like what Sarah experienced. That's scary, isn't it? Okay, it's now time to hand it over to Wraith. Over to you, Wraith.
Thank you, Annie. So guys, if you want to drop us feedback or have any stories to share, email us at latenightmysteries@gmail.com. Alternatively, you may send them to our Late Night Mysteries social media platforms on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And don't forget to follow and share our podcast on Spotify and all our social media platforms, as mentioned. Once again, I am Wraith. Thank you for listening, and I will see you on the next episode of Late Night Mysteries.